We're going to do another thing this morning that is real common in Christian churches. We do it occasionally in this congregation too, but we're going to do a responsive reading. This responsive reading actually is based on the lyrics of a song. So I will take the regular text, Marcia's going to take the italics, and we'll all do the bold words together. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh.
I ain't afraid of your Allah.
I ain't afraid of your Jesus.
I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your temples.
I ain't afraid of your praying.
I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up to your higher power.
Free up from fear. It will devour you.
Watch out for the ego of the hour.
The ones who say they know it. Are the ones that will impose it on you. Now, I don't know about you, but I ain't afraid of Jesus. I've never been afraid of Jesus. I grew up with Jesus. But the Jesus I knew, the Jesus I learned about, didn't hurt people. I'm not afraid of God either. I never could wrap my head around the vengeful, wrathful God. And I'm not afraid of any of these versions of God either. But when they're intentionally used as blinders or as weapons, then I'm afraid. Now, I sometimes begin new endeavors with the zealot of an innocent, not knowing what I don't know. That is indeed the way I responded to the United Front initiative begun in Fort Wayne in 2021 as a response to the George Floyd murder and subsequent unrest. The original push was to organizations encouraging them to get a cadre of their people to participate in a year-long project. I really believe that hope and passion and a sincere desire to see our community improve in racial diversity and inclusion is what drove these leaders to create United Front. I recruited at least 14 of you to participate twice a month for a year. From what we could deduce, we were the only or one of the few congregations that participated, and we noticed that the materials were definitely developed to be used in the workplace. Near the end of the year, I was in conversation with one of the organizers about how this program worked within a church. He told me that they were working on a version for churches to use in the coming year. In conversation, we discussed the possibility of including the bhajans, the temple, and other religious traditions. He even asked if I could arrange an email introduction to our contact person from the Bhajan Society. If you don't know, the Bhajans is a collective of Hindu groups that have been meeting in our congregation for over 25 years. So I did. I connected him to the Bhajan Society. And he ended up with inviting me to attend a luncheon where they were going to launch their new idea, United Front Faith. I eagerly accepted the invitation and made my way to the event 2 months later. At that luncheon, I found myself in a room that was predominantly male and about 2-to-1 white to black. I sat through the explanation from the black leader and the white fire chief telling how God had led them to create United Front. Then came the effusive backpatting between the black leader and a white Christian minister telling us how God had brought them together and how they quickly became brothers in Christ. The bros were in full swing, joined at the heart to fight racism with Jesus on their side. They eventually presented their views, their overview, actually, for United Front Faith. It included a big kickoff, weekly work within congregations, and lots and lots and lots of biblical references to use. Now, I could see some potential for our congregation because we're accustomed to translating things into our own belief system, but the focus seemed pretty narrow to me. I was wondering about those diverse religious traditions that I discussed with the other guy a few months back. At the end, the black leader asked if there were any questions. Crickets. Except for the UU lady in the front row with her hand up, I tried to ask my question fairly, but essentially I asked, we have many kinds of diversity in this community, including religious diversity. Is this for all faith traditions to participate, or is this just for Christians? Without hesitation, this well-known Black leader looked me straight in the eye and said, no, this is just for Christians. I was so taken aback, all I wanted to do was get out of that room. I didn't even finish my lunch, and if you know me, that was unusual. So I needed to talk this over with someone, but not these men. I spotted one of the few females that I knew was involved in organizing the details, so I asked her if we could talk. She obliged and listened. Of course, she had no real authority to change anything, but she did say that she would take my concerns back to the team. She encouraged me to put my feelings in writing. I did, that very day. My basic point, beyond sharing my feeling of exclusion and being othered, was that they could have made their program much more inclusive by adding someone to their team who could widen their circle, someone who could help them add readings to the lessons from other wisdom sources. Otherwise, if they truly wanted it to be just for Christians, perhaps they should change the name to United Front Christian Faith and be honest about it. It took them more than a month to respond with one of those thank you for your input letters. And when the program launched, I was not on their mailing list. However, the name of the project became United Front Christian Faith. They apparently were unable to see their blind spots, but at least they could listen a little. That was 4 years ago. Consider where we are now when we're hearing propaganda about the evils of diversity, equity, and inclusion, and that it somehow hurts white, able-bodied, straight individuals. And about the anti-Christian activities that seem so dire that the current administration has notified the State Department that the employees can and should anonymously report their coworkers for anti-Christian behavior. And more recently, they issued a memo that instructed federal agencies that they must allow religious expression in the workplace, including proselytizing, giving approval to trying to persuade others of the correctness of their own religious views. Imagine the white male boss preaching salvation to the young female employee as he encourages her to join him in a prayer group that meets at lunchtime. We can only imagine what would happen within that power differential. With that kind of religious liberty being released, we see the Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, recently posted on X, All of Christ for All of Life, as he reposted a video from a Christian nationalist church, which included several pastors saying that women should no longer be able to vote. Imagine the impact on our young military personnel when their administrator spews such nonsense. Will they be alienated or influenced? Will it impact military men differently than military women? The ones who say they know it are the ones that will impose it on you. I would argue that blind spots regarding diversity, equity, and inclusion abound among all identity groups. It was certainly apparent in United Front, and it is certainly apparent in our government today. But here in the buckle of the Bible Belt, we don't often see religious discrimination for what it is. Today, we're being told that Christians are being persecuted, discriminated against, and othered by the woke mind virus, while at the same time, we're seeing increased legislation to put Christian symbols, doctrine, and values into schools and public spaces, and a push to declare the U.S. a Christian nation. Again, we have Pete Hegseth inviting his departmental employees through their government emails to a prayer service led by his personal pastor inside a government building during work hours without reprimand, but with praise. I'd like to see the nation be a Christian nation. I'd like to see the world be a Christian world, says Reverend Doug Wilson, the pastor whose work and writings are admired and quoted by Hegseth. I fear that it might not be a quantum leap for well-meaning Christians like the ones who participated in United Front to think that having more Christianity in the country seems like a good thing. Jesus was a good man who preached good things. So on the surface, that seems like a good thing. The blinders are on. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. United Front was so focused on racial activity, equity, and inclusion that they did not realize that they too were demonstrating the very attitudes they seemed to be teaching against. They were blinded by their own assumption that Christianity is the dominant culture, so all other religions are just not as important. I wondered what it was that they were so afraid of, why they were so afraid to give voice to other faith traditions. Or did they simply have blinders on? In the book Star Spangled Jesus, April Ajoy tells of her evangelical upbringing and how fear was instilled in them from the cradle. Her father was an evangelical minister and traveled the country and the world to save souls. He didn't seem like the snake oil salesman type. It seems that he sincerely believed that he was doing God's work. But in the preface to his book, he wrote, "Unless America defines her God, which is Jesus Christ, God the Father will lift the veil of protection over this country, and America will experience bloodshed and devastation in unprecedented ways. That is why our president and every Christian must confess Christ publicly." Earlier this year, our Indiana legislature had a pending resolution, H.R. 53, in which they proposed as state legislators to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and vow a return to biblical principles. Luckily, that resolution didn't make it to the floor yet. I'm guessing that most of us don't really know that most evangelical churches are taught, as April's father claimed in his book, that America has been divinely blessed as a Christian nation. This is a rebirth of the 19th century idea of manifest destiny. And that if we stray by affirming our LGBTQ+ siblings, by supporting reproductive rights, by interracial marriage, God will no longer bless us with prosperity, beauty, and natural wealth that this country has to offer. April says that indoctrination caused them all to root for America like she was their favorite sports team. Now we might think that perhaps this is just patriotism. But simply put, the difference between patriotism and nationalism is that patriotism is driven by a love of country. Nationalism is driven by a fear of others, outsiders. Now, to compound things, April, her siblings, and other evangelicals are also taught that if they have a chance to save someone's soul by bringing them to Jesus and passed up that opportunity, they would carry the blood of that unsaved person on their hands forever. Couple the American Christian myth with the responsibility for hundreds of souls, and that's real fear. Reinforce that philosophy with controlled access to media, conspiracy theories pushed from the pulpit as facts, manipulated end times theology, and weaponized fear of eternity, and you get the perfect formula for creating Christian nationalism within evangelical churches, obediently wearing their blinders that are hell-bent on changing the world to meet their needs. And if that doesn't quite do it, the fallback is to create enemies. Anyone who doesn't agree with you is surely sent by the devil himself. Any church that is not evangelical is lukewarm Christianity. Or you could resort to name-calling, maybe baby killer, communist, Marxist, demon rats, wokies, you know, things like that. The Reverend Dr. Michael Spath, director of the Center for Middle East Peace, said this in his 2025 Palm Sunday sermon. We used to think that the left behind folks were just cranks who had a crazy theology, but they're voting in droves, and they're in think tanks, and they're judges, and they're in Congress, and they're running our foreign policy, and they're taking us into war. And we can't simply live in denial behind the walls of our churches and our theologies and act as if the politics don't matter. Their theology has become our politics. For these people, the president is a messiah figure because they don't really like the values of the real one. They believe that loving the poor is weak and loving someone different is woke. This is all being done in the name of a white, exceptionalist, macho, misogynistic, militarist Jesus, which means we simply can't agree to disagree as if we just differ on some minor issue. This is Christian heresy, and it must be called out as such. Jesus is being crucified again today in the Holy Land and on the altar of a racist Christian nationalism in our country. Rise up to your higher power. Free up from fear, it will devour you. Watch out for the ego of the hour. The ones who say they know it are the ones that will impose it on you. Now, I don't mean to imply that United Front was the epitome of Christian nationalism or that it even had that as a conscious perceived end product. I do mean to imply that our strongly held beliefs can sometimes become overzealous and lead us to ignore the obvious, fear the unfamiliar, and align ourselves with people based on just one thing. The combination of blind spots and fear can be deadly on both sides. What do you fear? Do you ever wonder if you have those blind spots too? As I've gotten deeper and deeper into work with countering Christian nationalism, my heart has begun to break for sincere Christian family and friends that do not realize that they're being duped by the power worshipers. I fear how easily groups of people can be manipulated by the powerful into believing that they are surely right and that their fear of the other is justified. And consequently, they learn to ignore their blind spots and take actions that hurt innocents. Like April Ajoy, the propaganda machine is teaching them to fear and hate, and they are being allowed to encourage to ignore the obvious and encouraged to ignore the obvious and see only what the powerful want them to see. Just like the reins on the horse. I can only hope that like April, they will wake up one day and realize that what they've been taught does not align with the words of Jesus. It took her 10 years to work through that propaganda and come out on the other side, still a Christian, but undoubtedly a different kind. I'm not sure we have 10 years to do this right now. Perhaps my blind spot has been not to have seen Christian nationalism creeping into our daily life bit by bit for years, actually decades. So what does this all mean for you, Yous? Through our values of justice, equity, transformation, pluralism, interdependence, and generosity, our denomination veers to the left, toward a multicultural, multi-theocratic democracy. Our wisdom sources allow us to explore the marketplaces of ideas, including Christianity. But current culture is taking us sharply to the right, toward continued white, certain kind of Christian dominance. Where will this end up? Is this the beginning of The Handmaid's Tale? Who do we align ourselves with? Are we secular progressives willing to ally with other people of faith who share our commitment to liberal democracy, or is that our blind spot? Is that our fear? To tell you the truth, I had no idea how to end this reflection. I really wanted to give you some words of hope, some examples of progress, a perfect solution. But I couldn't find those words. And I apologize for that. As the struggle deepens, as evil persists, as good does not yet prevail, can we at least gather what strength we have and with confidence and valor work towards small victories that we may end in triumph and make the world we dream of seem once again attainable? Rise up to your higher power, free up from fear. It will devour you.